Okay, is everybody back?
Yep.
Okay, great. Okay, so announcements. Well, I can tell you that Kristen Poppleton from the Will Steger Foundation, she actually sent an extensive email of, she can't be on the call, but there's all kinds of things that she's involved with that she sort of, so you can go and take a look at her email. But she was involved in a workshop in Ashland, Wisconsin that was at NOAA sponsored. They had their first summer institute, which was focused on their new energy curriculum. And she's got links to all of these things here. They're going to have a second institute next week down on the Mississippi River. Mm-hmm. And let's see what else. Oh, and then she said that NAAA registration is open, and so everybody can go ahead and register. So those are her announcements. I do have others, but is there anybody else who has announcements?
So, Tamara, this is Frank. I have a quick one.
Okay.
I just got done with a climate and energy literacy interagency meeting hosted by the Department of Energy as one of Danelle Hogan's last efforts. And, you know, the conversation gravitated around clean and the clean collection and the clean community, and high praise was given to all. But when they started getting into the weeds of the clean collection and the clean process and the gaps and thin spots analysis, and they really were feeling a great deal of impressiveness. Sorry, my grammar's a little off today, regarding what we have done over the years. And you know, I think they had some interesting insights, but the bottom line is that it met a key need that a lot of us in the federal space were focused on. So just wanted to give you that
feedback.
Will
we be getting, can we get some concrete feedback from that?
Yeah, absolutely. I can give you concrete feedback, but, you know, I need to get a little bit more information from that. You want me to type it up?
Yeah, just so that we sort of have a sense of you know, what's important to them, what they might, you know, things on their wish list that we might not be
sure.
doing, you know, sort of the range of things so that we know where we can continue to be helpful and where we might be able to be more helpful.
I think that the bottom line was the gaps and thin spots process was incredibly valuable. But the ability to focus the development community around the thin spots or the gaps, however you want to characterize it, was really, you know, who's going to do that work and how do we help them do that work? So anyway, that was a new part of the focus.
Okay, great.
Sure.
Good. Others? Well, go ahead.
Jason Cervenek at Bird Polar. We had a very good high school hydrology program we just ran here for about a week and a half. Very successful, and we're kind of getting geared up for some of our climate change ed initiatives for the fall. We're trying to do some blended work with both teachers and the general public, and that's based on some feedback we've had this summer from the amount of teachers that have told us that there's so much of the information they're seeing that they just weren't aware of. So.
Are these focused on local kind of issues, or is it more general?
They are. We're so focused on Central Ohio, and what we're trying to do is take the suburbs and the inner city and carve off regions and take kind of a roadshow approach where we have a speaker and some activities and hands-ons for both teachers and then younger children and do a program that's both public but also geared towards teachers.
Mm-hmm.
The way we're fleshing it out right now is trying to provide some kind of reward or incentive for people to go to a different neighborhood and see the rest of the program. So one of the six or seven will show up in their neighborhood, but how do you attract folks to be willing to come to something that might not be in their own neighborhood?
Mm-hmm.
So as opposed to people coming to campuses to take the show off campus to people
mm-hmm.
who otherwise wouldn't get to campus to see it.
Great. What kind of venues do you have it in there? And then,
well, we've had two different partners we're working with. We've had a number of the libraries express interest, and then we have a group. They're actually a national group, but we work a lot with them in Ohio because they're very highly engaged. and that's the Interfaith Power and Light organization. So
mm-hmm.
it's a religiously affiliated organization, non-denominational, but they're very interested in the environmental issues and climate change, specifically related to, they usually focus on energy efficiency, but we've had an invitation to use their venues, their churches, houses of worship,
mm-hmm.
or events. So that's kind of a different audience we haven't always been able to easily engage, but
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of interested congregations in Central Ohio right now.
One of the CSEP Phase 1 projects, the Climate Change Education Partnership Phase 1 projects, was CLPSE, which is was in the southeast United States. But the reason I bring that up is because one of their main audience was religious communities. So you might have, there might be information you could learn from their website.
Okay.
And I can send that to you, and I can put you in contact with the person who is a PI.
That'd be good. Yes. Perfect.
Also, Jason, are you aware of the I always botch the name of this. It's the Interfaith Power and Light group.
That's who we mentioned.
Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yep. The Ohio organization, they're probably a later group to spin off of the national. They've been pretty heavily engaged because they got some grant money to do energy efficiency stuff. And the good thing is that the leadership in Central Ohio, a lot of them are people that retired from the Ohio Department of Energy, the branch that dealt with energy efficiency, and some people that are pretty well engaged in the community, especially with sustainable food. So we've seen a lot of buy-in and innovation and ease with which that group's been able to engage a broad base audience and getting tangible results. And they're they're trying to ramp up their efforts specifically in Central Ohio. So it's a good time to be working with them. We've had a lot of success in the past, but they're trying to go wider scale and go deeper, especially into houses of worship that haven't really been engaged at all.
Well, the reason I was asking, I'm sorry, I was a little distracted when you were speaking because I was buying a falafel sandwich. you got to eat sometime, guys. The play efficiency is awesome, but you know, in Maryland, for example, the solar installation boom is in high gear. People are installing their own solar for zero down for 20 years, and the renewable energy credit market, getting 100% wind at your house for cheaper than coal through the energy company that you provide. EPA has the green energy power communities and initiatives, and they're woefully underutilized. And the Ocean Project was doing research on this, they found that people, if you got concerned about climate or other issues, that they wanted to do something to make a difference and improve the issue very quickly. And so they were doing research on what asks actually would make a difference. And the renewable energy credit work was one of the things that it was very easy to do, made a difference, and helped their learning, actually. That was the key piece, is that they actually learned more because they were acting on solutions. So, there's a whole area that I don't think we focus on very much, on how to help people make an actionable difference without actually advocating for policy per se.
And one of the components that came with the energy efficiency grant is working with a gentleman that retired from the construction industry, but he does a lot of work with the efficiency and monitoring stuff like that. And he's found out that when they first started, they were going to a lot of places with their solutions already in place. And what they've switched it to over the last few months is trying to show up with kind of a breadbasket listening approach and let people propose or suggest what they need, and then they could come back and offer things that would be appropriate. So almost a listening phase to the audience, so that they could get the foot in the door, and once the foot was in the door, then they could go ahead and
absolutely
expand.
That sounds spot on. Yep.
Yeah, but it took them I think it took them about 2 years to get to that point. So we hope to have more success as their initiatives kind of roll forward, and we figure out how to best dovetail with that. And 4-H, we also work with them.
Great. Any other announcements? Okay, well, I did want to let everybody know that we did very well this year for, and something we don't usually talk about was the American Geophysical Union's awards, medals, and prizes. So we have Jeffrey Hines-Stales won the Robert C. Cohen Award for Sustained Achievement in Science Journalism. And I got the award for the Excellence in Geophysical Education.
Very good. Congratulations.
So if you're going to be in San Francisco this December, the award ceremony is going to be right in the middle of the week. So I'm going to be pretty busy this December. Go ahead.
It better not be during our union session.
No, it's in the evening. It'll be in the evening, but I'm actually going to I'm going to make sure that one of the things that they let me do last year that I'm sure they're going to let me do this year is schedule our sessions.
Yes.
So I'm kind of hoping I don't have to give a talk the Wednesday afternoon. Because I'm going to be a little bit
Wednesday.
Thank you very much.
Good.
So, and we do know we will have the workshop on Thursday morning. So right after all this is over, I'll be right back at it at the workshop. So those were just announced today. Actually. So, any other comments, or we do have?
Well,
I am. Go ahead.
That's great. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much.
Tamara, would you mind kind of connecting the dots on the NSDL work on next generation science standards and the clean collection for everybody? Because there was some note that just came out.
Sure.
I guess yesterday.
Sure. So we've actually known for about 6 months that NSDL, they've been working on planning for their sort of sustainability, had already planned to fund Francis Molina, who was at AAAS, to create the alignment between the AAAS Project 2061 benchmarks for science literacy and the next generation science standards. For those of you who aren't aware, the strand map tools that we use in the clean collection to connect the concepts and align our resources with those concepts is based on the Project 2061 benchmarks for science literacy. And the old version of the standards have been aligned to that. And if you go into the collection, you'll see a tab in the box. You know, that when you click on one of the boxes, the benchmark comes up, but there's a tab that you can click on and see what the science standard was from the old standards. And so we've been waiting for them to come out with the alignment between those benchmarks and the new standards, and we plan to, I think that's available now, or this will soon be available. I forget what the timing of that email said. But we've known this is coming, and we will take all of the resources will then be aligned with the next generation. So that tab in that box will change to be the next generation science standards instead of the old standards. And so all of the resources in the collection will then be aligned to the new standards. That being said, we will probably then have to sort of look at each of them to make sure that the alignments are complete, because there's just never a one-to-one correspondence. And so we will have to follow up and do that. But on initial pass, we will have a preliminary alignment. I can't tell you what the timing is, because it depends on when the technology can make that actually appear in the strand map tool. But I know that the strand maps have been high on NSDL's priority list for maintaining going forward. And just so everybody knows, they are having a partner meeting in August that I've been invited to. So I think it's August 22nd and 23rd that I'll be in Boulder at that meeting. So I'll have more information about what they plan going forward from there. But that's what we know so far about the standards, that there will be an alignment, and then so that the clean collection will maintain those alignments and move to include the next generation science standards relatively quickly.
And one of the reasons why I asked you to share that was one of our key kind of marketing advantages with the Next Generation Science Standards is clean the collection and the community's effort supports the implementation as teachers move from adoption and implementation to actual instruction.
Right.
And, you know, to have this done with $0 of our own own money is was a huge strategic, you know, win for us in the network. So anyway, just that was the point.
Right. Yes, and it's and it for teachers, I can't stress enough how different this is for teachers to think about. I mean, even to think about how to, because what constitutes the standard? For those of you who are not aware, there's these three domains. One is the disciplinary core ideas, which is the basic content. Then there's the science and engineering practices, which is sort of the methods and techniques that scientists and engineers use to solve problems and do their research. And then there's the cross-cutting concepts, and these are ideas and that are used across other things like identifying patterns and things that you use in terms of understanding the science and the content but aren't wed to any one particular content area. And then those are supposed to be taught in an integrated way that results in what are called performance expectations. And each performance expectation has at least one of each of those three things, sometimes multiple ones of each of those three things. And so where are teachers in looking at this, where are teachers going to come into this? Are they going to look first the content area and then find out what the performance expectations are? Or are they going to go to the performance expectations and I have to teach this? Now, in looking at the performance expectations, others can chime in on this, but my sense is that you're not going to develop one activity or one unit and students are going to master a particular performance expectation. It's going to be multiple activities done over a period of time, and that gets at the desire to have there be much more depth in these standards rather than breadth in terms of covering content area. So that what that means is that, you know, we have this clean collection and all of the resources in it were all developed before there were these performance expectations. So no one activity, visualization, or video is going to be able to address an entire performance expectation. So we're going to help teachers figure out ways of integrating the resources, and that's one of the strengths of the clean collection is that all the pieces are there so that you can bring them together in terms of addressing. And even at that, I don't think any particular activity will help students master any one. It will take repetition over time using different kinds of tools and different mechanisms to really build that deep understanding and robust capabilities. So that students can then transfer what they've learned to other situations. So anyway, that's my, as I've been thinking about how teachers are going to integrate, you know, interface with this, it's not straightforward and they're going to just need a lot of help.
So Tamara, you're spot on. And one of the projects that I think we've asked them to brief and engage the network in the fall is the Made Clear group, which is NSF, you know, CSEP Phase 2 funding. And they're working on this exact problem at the Maryland and Delaware school system level. So I think, you know, figuring out how to best help teachers and science supervisors, you know, take the raw materials that CLEAN offers and pull them together into making croissants, tarts, and pies, as opposed to flour, eggs, and you know, vanilla. And that's really what we have now is we have you know, a bunch of raw materials, but you know, they haven't been pulled together yet into the final product. How that happens is a very creative and unmet thing right now.
Any other thoughts on this or other topics people would like to discuss?
Wow, that just kind of went down.
Well, it's summer. I will say that we are starting to schedule talks for the fall. So I am going to give a talk on, I think, September 24th.
Yep.
On the survey results that we got from the survey, the Clean Network survey we did last March and April, which we put together a JGE paper around. And we are also going to have somebody from the, I think it's a National Climate Assessment, Scott. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Emily, how does she say her name?
Cloyd.
Yeah. And she hasn't confirmed for the 17th, but that was one of the dates she had open. She's actually on vacation this week, but I expect she will confirm for the 17th of September.
Yes, right. So, and we should follow up. I know we plan to have Made Clear give a talk, so we need to get them a date now.
Yeah.
Right. Marcus has committed.
Go ahead.
Marcus Griswold has committed to doing that.
Okay, great.
Just the date has not been selected.
Right. So, yeah, so we need to set that date. And if any of you are, would like to give a presentation, get feedback on your efforts as well as, solicit support, you can schedule a presentation. Or if there's a group that you think might be particularly interesting to the Clean Network, you can suggest it so that we can get that kind of thing scheduled also.
So getting back up on that, Tamara, one of the things that I was asked to do for the Made Clear Climate Academies about a month ago was to kind of frame the next generation science standards around the instruction related to climate. And one of the things that they were working on was how to assemble a unit of practice or a sequence of learning related to the standards.
Mm-hmm.
I put a lot of time getting ready for that. Focusing on, basically what you were saying, of how best to organize, construct a unit of study from our raw materials or a process for doing that, would people find something like that valuable? It's more a guided discussion.
Well, Frank, actually, we can potentially talk to you. We put together a DRK-12 proposal last year, which we will resubmit this year, that gets exactly at that question.
Mm.
Providing and so we created some examples that we could potentially talk about.
Yeah. So maybe this is not the right venue for having that conversation, but maybe there are people that are struggling with this and say the Made Clear group and what you're doing and what I'm trying to do, and maybe there are others. Scott, is there anybody in Washington State who's struggling with this, part of the problem? Or
yeah,
Kristen,
our Office of Superintendent Public Instruction folks there certainly are looking at these issues. So that's just blank. Gilda Wheeler and Ellen Ebert, who some of you know, and I'm sure they would love to have some discussion about this, and some of the folks who work in our education service districts too. So that's certainly another try to get some other folks on this coast too. That'd be good.
So. Yeah, do you guys agree that maybe the clean call is not the right place for that, because it's
I think that we can.
But we might be able to sponsor kind of a workshop outside of our Tuesday call, something like that.
Right, but a virtual.
Yeah, exactly, right. Exactly. Yeah, virtual.
Yeah, I like that idea. I think it's. It's just really trying to get a community of practice, group thinking, kind of shared thinking, and so we all, because if we're struggling with this, it's always good to kind of kick the ideas around and get other people who've been kicking it around to kind of share their thinking, and it helps us all get tighter in our approach.
Yep. I'm certainly interested, and I'm sure there will be others.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, maybe October or something like that.
I don't know if we have that much time, to be honest with you, Scott.
Maybe we should do it earlier. Okay.
I think August. I mean, because whoever figures out the best way to kind of approach this unit of practice problem, because the standards aren't, historically, most people thought a standard meant a lesson. That's what an alignment meant, was this. Online means is that if you teach this lesson, you have met that standard, and now you can meet the other standard the next day. And that's, I know it's a very concrete approach, but that's really what a lot of people think when they think of this space. That's really not what's being talked about. And that the three dimensions piece really requires some very new thinking. Tamara, you said it very well, that cross-cutting concepts kind of are much more organic. Multiple concepts are involved at all times, space, as opposed to, it's going to require a special focus, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But the teachers, the people who are going to be struggling with this are, you know, Maryland and Delaware are already on board, right? Maryland's almost on board. But, Kansas is on board and Rhode Island. And so there's going to be a group of people who are going to be really trying to figure out how to make heads or tails of this really fast.
Well, I think I don't think we can do this in August. It's just not going to be enough time to get it together. But I think we can schedule it for in the early fall.
Okay.
And I very much like to have this discussion in a smaller group setting.
Yeah. So maybe a near term thing is to figure out who and kind of what and how, and maybe just a little planning group. Maybe if whoever else is interested on the call, or I think Kristen might be interested in this from Minnesota.
Right. I could actually send out an email sort of saying that we want to have this a small group discussion about this topic and see who's interested in joining the conversation.
Yeah.
Right.
Susan Burr is the other person I'm thinking Susan would be interested in this.
Yep.
Who?
Yep, absolutely.
Susan Burr.
It connects very quickly to professional development as well.
Yes.
Oh,
because
absolutely.
How to assemble these units units of practice is, Ted Willard has done some really nice thinking of, he uses the analogy of making a cake, and that the science and engineering practices are like all the tools you use in cooking. The DCIs are the actual cake itself, and that the cross-cutting concepts are the frosting. But they all play a different role. But at the end of the day, you have a cake, a nice cake. I think there's a lot of people thinking about how to do this. But that's why I was using the analogy that the clean is really good, high-quality raw materials.
Yeah.
But it's not a cake.
Yeah.
There's still another process to assemble it together into a cake.
Okay, so I will send out that email and get that conversation going.
Excellent.
Any other thoughts or comments? Okay, then. Well, it's a great conversation, and we will talk again next week.
Yeah.
Thanks everyone. A lot, everybody.
Thank you.
I know.
Hello?